Good morning, everybody. Some people are excited to be here. God is good. Let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. Some people need to still wake up. To me, I think it's Sunday morning. You know, we like to sleep late. But welcome to church. It's so wonderful to have you all here. I must say, I had an amazing day yesterday. I was super blessed. So thanks to everyone who joined us. And sure, it was just a massive celebration of God's goodness. And I just happened to be 40, or I'm only turning 40 next Sunday. So I've still got a week to go, but it's just an excuse to have a party. Any excuses to have a good party. So A.W. Tozer once said, quite an interesting thing. Anyone know about A.W. Tozer? Who's read any of A.W. Tozer's books, or who's heard about A.W. Tozer? He's one of the great writers of the past, a great theologian and a great thinker. And he said the following. He said, the most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. I'm going to say that again. The most important thing about you is what you think when you think about God. So I want to ask you that this morning. I want to ask, because I believe it affects our lives. I believe it affects our worship. It affects just how we make decisions. What comes to mind when you think about God? What do you think about? What is the image that is portrayed in your mind? What is the first thing that comes to mind? And I've got a couple of things here that I just want to whet your appetite with in terms of your thinking, because maybe some of these are how you think, or how you used to think, or maybe some of it is still there, you know, because every one of us has this image of God. And many times it comes from our fathers. Our earthly fathers represent a lot of how we see God when we grow up. And so it's supposed to be like that. But as we know, most earthly fathers, in fact, all of them are sinners, and they're not perfect. And so how, doesn't matter how good they are, they cannot portray the heart of God fully. But we know that some are really bad, and some fathers have never even been there. And so children grow up with this warped image of the father. Either he ran away, or he was never present, or he was focused on his own stuff, or he was very dictatorial, and whatever he said went, and there was no relationship. It was just one-way communication. So I don't know how you think about God, but there's various images of God that I just want to share with you. The first one is like the accountant type of God. You know, any accountants here in the house? I know, like Marinus and Lene, yeah, Ancestor, you know. So some accountants, you know, accountants are good at debits and credits, isn't that so? So some of us think of God in terms of, like, you know, we owe him, he owes us. There's this list, and we, you know, as long as the plus is more than the minus, then we're in a good space, you know. So God is this credit and debit accountant type of God who's checking our sins, and he's checking how much we've sinned this day, and so yeah, you're kind of improving, and so you know it looks good, you know. So maybe you see God like that. He's like an accountant. Or the second one that we many times see God is the eBay God. Okay, so we can trade with him, we can barter with him, we can like twist the rubber arm, you know, and we can put some good trades in, and then God will, you know, bless us back. And so there's this whole eBay going on, you know, internet buying and selling. And so that's how we relate to God many times. Or then the third one is the grandpa God. You know, he's like got sweets in his pocket like that, you know. And he's this like friendly guy, you know, with the beard. And yeah, he's just the grandpa sitting there, you know. We relate to him like that. Anyone had a grandpa like that? I remember I had a grandpa who used to hand out these jelly beans, and we were like turkeys. He used to like go gulu 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 gulu, and then you'd throw them on the ground, and we had to try and find the beans. Me and my brother, you know, like, is maybe that's your image of God? Is this grandpa God? Or then maybe your image of God is like a schoolmaster. He's very strict, and it's all about performance, and it's all about, you know, let's get a few hidings going here, because this guy's not into lying. So you know, God is like the typical schoolmaster. Very, very strict. Or maybe for you, God is like the force. He's like out there somewhere, you know. He's this massive force, and he's out there, and Yeah, he's just out there somewhere. Don't quite know exactly who he is and what he is, but he's the force. Or maybe some of us relate to God like hell and brimstone, fire, you know, doomsday God. Just don't get near him. Don't get close to him, because you better avoid him, because he's so sin conscious, and you're not going to make it. So just survive, and just make sure you're through this life and avoid this hell and brimstone God. Or maybe you see God as the church God, you know, like shh, silence, don't move, you know, sit very still. Or maybe you see him like your buddy Bob God. You're like the surfer dude. He's your best friend. He's your chillo buddy. You know, let's just chill, yeah. Make some jokes. No respect, you know. God is like, I'll just twist his arm. he's my buddy, you know. How does it go? Like, dude, you know, like those interesting signs. Or maybe God is like this politically correct God, you know. He's not like offending people, and let's just make everyone happy, and everything's actually okay, and let's not get too confrontational here, you know. Just stay politically correct. That's who God is. So I don't know where you are, and I guess we can go on and on with this list. I don't know where you are in terms of how you see God. But I believe, you know, when we look at this list, all of us have got maybe some of these things, even if it's a little bit of this in some way. Not like it's, you don't see him exactly like he's the schoolmaster God, but there is something in you that maybe sees him a little bit like a schoolmaster, a little bit like an accountant. He's checking your sins, and he's checking what you're doing right, and he's weighing them up, and you seem to make it, or you just don't make it. I don't know. But think about it. When you think about God, what do you think about? And you see, the devil is challenging us constantly about the character of God. Amen. The devil is trying to warp a very specific image of the heart of God, and he's trying to twist it. And it's going to affect our identity. It's really going to affect who we are. And so we're dealing with this whole series of who am I. And so if you're taking notes, the title of my sermon this morning is Who Am I Part 2. We started it last week. We're talking about identity, the fact that we've been created, we've been chosen, we've been called by God. But Satan wants to destroy a specific image of God. And this image is so beautifully illustrated in Luke chapter 15. So I want us to look at Luke chapter 15, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, or pieces of scripture. And I just am realizing more and more of it, and I'm realizing more and more of myself in this, and how I need Jesus. Amen. And so, I'm not going to read the whole passage. It's Luke chapter 15 from 11 to 32. And I encourage you to read this at home and study it and ask God to show you more of it out of His Word. But I'm just going to look at a few things of the heart of God, because who is God primarily? And Jesus Christ came and he wrote this, or he spoke this parable, and it was written by Dr. Luke, recorded in this chapter. And Jesus is speaking, and he's telling his disciples, this is who the Father is. Now, we all know it's the parable of the lost son, and so many times we focus on the lost son, and we know there's an other son involved, there's a younger son and an older son. But it's the heart of the Father God that I believe must stand out to us. Amen. Because the devil wants to destroy our image of this, and that is that God is a Father. Turn to someone next to you and say, God is a Father. Do you know the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That's who God is. He's a Father primarily. He's got a Son. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, and He sent the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. That's who God is. But God in His heart is a Father. And Jesus Christ came to restore us to the Father's heart. The Holy Spirit is coming to show us who Jesus is, who came to restore the Father's heart. And that's who God is. God wants to show us that He is a Father. And yes, there's a lot of characteristics of God. And a typical father for each one of us will be different. You know, Chris will see a father differently. Frida will see a father differently. Joannette will see a father differently. Ter, Hester, Tabitha, all of us will see a father differently, but God is a father, and He's a very specific father. And so I want to look at a few characteristics of God the Father in this passage, because I want to say that God is not a reflection of our earthly fathers, but He's the perfection thereof. God is not the reflection of our fathers on earth. He is the perfection thereof. And so whether you've had a bad father figure in your life or a good father, I want to say there's no perfect father except for Father God. Amen. And so whether you've been hurt by a father, whether you feel rejected, whether you feel like you cannot relate to this father figure because you've got so many hurts from a father, then I want to say, praise Jesus that He came to die for us. Amen. Praise Jesus that He came to reveal to us the perfect, perfect Father. And so, number one, the father said to his younger son, yeah, take what you want. The younger son comes to the father and says, Father, give me everything that is owing to me. And because He is such a just and a fair and a giving father, He's the honeycomb, like Ter spoke about, okay? He's the honeycomb. He's overflowing with life. He's overflowing with giving. He's a giving father. So number one, He's just, He's fair, and He's giving. And He gave what was promised to His son, because His son knew that I'm one of my father's sons, so I've got an inheritance. And His son said, give me my inheritance. And so the father gave him, divided, it says. So I want to say this morning, God is a fair God, He's a just God, and He's a giving God. And He gave because the son asked. Isn't that so? The son asked for his inheritance, and He gave it to him. But he divided it very fairly. And just because the other son didn't ask for it, didn't mean he didn't give it. He gave exactly what was owed to that son. And I want to say this morning that God the Father gives us, He gives every single one that is born on this earth, He gives them life. Isn't that so? He gives them the gift of life. So all of us, yeah, have been given a gift from God. It's called life. In fact, everyone out there has been given a gift. It's called life. And it's not like it's owed to us. God decided that we're going to be born. And so He gave us this gift of life. He gave us talents. He gave us abilities. He gave us an incredible life to live because He's just, He's fair, and He's giving. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about your talents. I want you to think about your personality, how you are, who you are. And I want you to say, "Here, God, thank you for giving me life. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for being just and fair. Thank you for giving me talents, even though I don't even serve you with those talents sometimes." Isn't that amazing? That is who God is. Even if we don't serve Him with our lives, even if we don't follow Him, He still gives us the gift of life. And guess what? He sustains life. Do you know that the sun came up this morning the same as it does every single day? You know, God is faithful. God can stop this world in the blink of an eye. God can just wipe us all out if He wants to. Because, you know, there's a lot of sin in the world. God could, like, think, you know, the sin is so bad, I think let's just wipe out. And He did that. But then He said to Noah, "I'll never do it again. I'll never wipe mankind out again. My plan is my son, that the world can be saved." But God is faithful every day. And so I want you to think, when you wake up in the morning and you see the sun rising and you see this new day before you, doesn't matter what your challenges are, doesn't matter how much pain you have, how many struggles in life you have, you must think about the fact that God has blessed you with life. Amen. Even someone who's lying in hospital and they're not dead yet, they can just say, you know, God, thank you for sustaining me. Thank you that I can still breathe, I can still have life. And I have got faith. When I've got life, I've got faith. And I want to say to each one of us this morning, you've got faith. If you've got life, especially when you realize that there's one who sustains life. He's a just God. He's a fair God. He's a giving God. Forget about any of our responses. This is before the son responded. This is before the son decided to run away with his inheritance. I want to say the truth is God is a giving father. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that help us to spring forth and worship and love God? And then we know the story goes on and the son decides, it says a few days later, he decides, you know what, this is so cool. I've got so much money. I've got so much to do with my life. I'm going to go and run away because my father's house, I don't know, but this is not like cool. I'm boxed in here. So let me go on a long trip and spend all of my inheritance. And so the son did that. And we know the son came to his senses. And one thing that he did when he came to his senses, before he turned around, is he thought about his father's servants. And he must have thought, my father's servants are blessed. Here I am in the pigsty. Here I am in the mess. I've messed up my life. But even my father's servants are blessed in abundance. Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, and this is the key to repentance, this is the key to turning back. If you're a rebel, if you've walked away from God, if you're struggling in your relationship with God, the key to it is to come to yourself and then to consider my father's heart. Isn't that amazing? And what did he do? He considered the following. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? He's considering his own life. He's considering his father's household and not his son, not the other son. He's considering his servants. He says, even my father's hired servants who aren't sons in the house, they're not even like, I don't know if you got servants that aren't hired, but these were hired servants, so they could have been told, you're hired for a while and then you can go. So I don't know what the relationship is with the servants are, but even those servants have got bread enough and to spare. The second characteristic of the father heart of God is that he's kind to everyone. He treats everyone the same, and there's enough for everyone. And this is what made the son turn. He considered the kindness and the giving heart of his father, which we looked at previously. He considered the goodness of his father, and it made him start to plan his return. So when we consider God's goodness, that's why when we worship, we must consider God's goodness. We must come to church in the mornings. We must wake up every morning when we go to work and we consider the goodness of God. And then we offer him a worship and a praise offering and say, God, you're so kind. You're so good to everyone. You love everyone. You bless so many people. You bless even people that aren't sons in your house, that don't know you, that don't have a relationship with you. You bless people. You just have an incredible heart. And the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Isn't that so? So let's consider how kind God is. Let's consider how good he is that even his hired servants have abundant life. And his son decided to start to say to himself, what is he going to say to this father? And he started to say, I'm going to tell my father that, you know what? I'm sorry. I've sinned. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of these hired servants. Because I can see even these hired servants have got life. And so I would rather, if I'm not a son in your house, at least make me like one of your hired servants. Make me like someone that at least has bread to eat, that has got enough to spare, even enough to give. Because that's what I believe the Bible says. When it's enough to spare, it's enough to give to others. Make me like one of those. But it's the kindness of the Father that turned him to repentance. And then look at this in verse 20. I just want to read this whole passage to you from verse 20. So he contemplates what he's going to do. And it says he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I just see an amazing, when I read this passage again this last while, I just realized again, this is the heart of God. Because yeah, the son is coming back, and yeah, it says that first of all he ran to his son. In other words, he was waiting for the son to return. It's like he had faith, he had hope, he really believed that the son was going to return. Every day he was looking for the son. He was ready. It wasn't like the son just came and knocked on his door. You know, some of us we come home to our parents, or we go visit our parents, or and you know, we kind of knock on the door, our car arrives there, and I'm sure we are expecting to arrive. You know, we've told them we're coming, and we arrive, then we even knock on the door, and we even have to sometimes just open the door ourselves because there's no real excitement, there's no real expectancy. I mean, we've told them we're coming, but sometimes we come and but this father's not like that. When the son returns, it's like he's incredibly excited to see the son, and he's incredibly forgiving. And his heart is soft. In fact, he's running to him. But for a Jewish man to run in those days was very undignified. And you know what? He just thought, my reputation is not at stake here. I want to be with my son. I'm running to my son. I don't care what I look like, but I'm running to my son. But he was waiting. He was so excited. And then it says he had a compassion in him. He saw him, first of all. In other words, he had eyes of mercy. So he saw him. He had eyes of mercy. Secondly, he had a heart of mercy. He had compassion on the son. He didn't judge him. He saw him immediately and he thought, this is amazing that he has returned. And then he ran to him. He had feet of mercy. And then it gets even better. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. Now imagine what that son must have been like. He must have been all sweaty, all messy with the pigs, like mess. And he was in with the pigs. He hadn't bathed for however long, years. Hadn't cleaned himself. He was full of mess and muck, and this father didn't care. Just kissed him on his neck. He hugged him. He had arms of mercy. And he kissed him. He had lips of mercy. This father was full of mercy, full of compassion, and he couldn't wait for his son to return. But what was great about this is that the son starts to repent, and he starts to tell him, "Father, I'm so sorry, I've sinned." And halfway through, the father just says, "Stop. Stop. I can see your heart. I can see you've turned." And so he interrupts his son's repentance, and he showed his forgiveness. And I want to say this morning, God demonstrates forgiveness. God doesn't just say you're forgiven. God demonstrates forgiveness. Amen. And some of us have never been, maybe, or it's difficult for us to demonstrate forgiveness or to receive a demonstration of forgiveness because we just don't know it. And I want to say the father heart of God is to send a physical son in the form of Jesus to die for us. It says, while we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love. And so this father demonstrates his forgiveness. He demonstrates it because so many times we just forgive in word. And I want to challenge us this morning because it's not only about us receiving forgiveness, it's also about us having the heart of the Father to also give forgiveness and to demonstrate forgiveness. And God demonstrates it. And this father demonstrated forgiveness how? He put on the best robe, gave him all his authority, all his destiny. His sandals. He put sandals on his feet. He put a robe on his... And it says the best robe. Tell someone next to you the best robe. What does that talk about? It talks about a place of complete righteousness, of complete restoration. In fact, restoration to a bigger, a better place than he was before. He said, "You know what, son, I've seen something change in your heart. I've seen that you're ready now to receive your full inheritance. Your inheritance is not just money and all the livelihood that I have for me. Your inheritance is a legacy that I want to give you. And it's a legacy of sonship, of righteousness in my name. It's a legacy of having authority just as much as I have, and having a destiny where you don't have to run around trying to find it. It's your destiny. You have the sandals. Put them on and walk in them." And so that is the demonstration of his forgiveness. He hasn't only said, "Oh, you're forgiven." He puts a greater glory upon the Son. And that is the heart of God. God puts on his glory on us. He says, "You are heirs of my throne together with my Son Jesus. You're heirs of my throne. You are a righteous son just like Christ is." And so some of us need to come back to that place of restoration where we restore to a better place and we're at a greater level of glory. And I want to say we should never just be comfortable with where we are, because God always restores us. God always takes us to the next level. Amen. So I don't know, maybe you're going through a challenge. And this last while, you know, I just think back to the last few months in my own life. I just realized how much God has taken me to the next level of glory. He's just restored so much in my life. He's put me on this place where it's just amazing. I just feel so much more secure in his love. I feel secure in what he's called me for. I just feel, and I'm not perfect yet, but I can just feel there's been a shift in this last while, going through all the tough times that I've been through personally and just generally. It's just amazing how God takes us to the next level. And I want to say this morning that God wants to take some of you to the next level of glory this morning. Amen. Wants to restore something in you that is broken, because sometimes we get so comfortable with where we are and we're happy with where we are. But I want to say God wants to take us to the next level of glory. And he will use circumstances. He will use challenging times. He just is like that. So he restores his children to a better place. That's the fourth thing he does. That is who he is. And then this is just so amazing. And yesterday I experienced a little bit of it. And I remember back to my 21st, you know, my parents took out they organized the marquee tent on our farm. And they said, "You know, the whole of the neighborhood is invited. Your friends are invited. But we are going to celebrate you coming of age at 21. And it was one of the greatest celebrations. Our wedding was also amazing. But celebrations in your life, and my 40th, and I want to really say, guys, thanks for yesterday, because it's a milestone. It wasn't just another birthday. It's something that I'll never forget. And I could celebrate it with the spiritual family. My 21st was mainly natural family and my parents' friends and a few of my friends. My wedding was, you know, obviously a lot of my friends as well. But this celebration yesterday was spiritual family. It was really like, we blessed. I just put my head on the pillow last night and I'm like, God, so blessed with the spiritual people around us, the family that's not you know, natural family. It's God's family. It's because God is good, not because I've chosen people or because I'm born into this family. It's God's family. And so the father celebrates and the father prepares this fatted calf. You know, a fatted calf is not just something that a calf doesn't just get fat. Okay, does any farmer know that? You have to feed a calf to get fat, okay? And if it's a drought, you've got to organize some stuff like aloes and other stuff that the calf can eat to get fat. But a calf doesn't just get fat. So this fatted calf was prepared. And once again, I see this father's heart. He's so ready for the son to return. He's got a fatted calf for him. Bet you he was preparing this fatted calf. As soon as he left home, he thought, you know what? Someday my son's going to return and I'm going to have a calf. So the longer he stays away, the fatter this calf is going to get, okay? But when he comes home, there's going to be a massive celebration. And so he takes out the best and he celebrates and he tells the servants, listen, yeah, prepare the biggest braai vleis that you've ever prepared and we are going to partay like we've never partayed before. Because my son who was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father's heart is to celebrate his children. And some of us have never been celebrated, or some of us doesn't understand celebration in our family lives or in our homes that we've come from. We've never been fully celebrated because it just comes from the generations. The previous generation also wasn't celebrated. And so no one knows how to celebrate until you understand the father's heart. And so I must give my parents credit, because I come home, and even now when I'm married and I've got kids, you know, I come home and we're going to the farm next weekend, and you know, it's such an excitement for me to go to a place where I just know I'm celebrated. You know, my mother will take out she'll make sure there's food there, and Hester loves it because she can take a break from cooking. You know, it's like she knows Mrs. Kingwell Senior, she is going to bring out the fatted calf for us, you know. Because my brother lives on the farm, so he's kind of there, you know, like, and you know, he gets it kind of every day and gets used to it. But I'm like, I come home, you know, sometimes. Not it's okay, married couples, your home is now your home with your wife. Okay, so don't. It's not. Ask JP and Lisa. We prep the couples very much to say, no, your home is not for your parents. So it's like, so I made a mistake there. Sorry, Jan Pietri. I need to go for marriage prep again. But I go and visit my parents, but it really feels like I've come home. Because there's a celebration. And some of us wives, we need to celebrate our husbands when they come home from work. Because sometimes there's just nagging and there's, you know, why are you so late and all of that. And a husband wants to come home to a celebration. Amen. I know I'm speaking to some people here this morning. And some husbands, you need to celebrate your wife as well in what she does. And you need to thank her for all the food she makes and all the challenges she goes through with the kids while you're sitting nicely behind your desk in the office. And, you know, kids, I'm helping my wife run around with our kids now. It's just crazy. The school activities and, like, your week gets busy. But we need to celebrate each other, because the father's heart is that of celebration. And I want to say today that there's a reason enough to celebrate this father of ours. I think we can give him the biggest shout of praise that we've ever given him in our lives, because he's a good father. And he celebrates us, and I think the least we can do, and that's why on a Sunday, I want you guys to think differently. When you come to church, I want you to think of celebrating this Father. Because he has done everything. He doesn't even need to pitch here. He's given his son, Jesus. His presence doesn't need to be here. The fact that he's given his son is enough. But you know, he chooses to visit us. In fact, he doesn't choose to visit us. He chooses to dwell with us. And his presence isn't limited to a church or to some nice music being made. His presence is everywhere. And he celebrates us all the time. And sometimes we just forget to give him a response and say, Father, I want to celebrate you. Not that God doesn't need a celebration. He's so secure. Whether we worship him or not, he's fine. But it does something in our hearts, amen, when we celebrate him. But we do it because we recognize he has celebrated us first. And he's so excited when his children return to him. And then verse 28 goes like this. And then we know the story changes a little bit. And now we focus on the older son. Because suddenly the older son hears this massive celebration. And now he is, what happened here? And so he asks the slaves, the servants, what's happening? Why is there a big celebration? Oh, your brother's come home. You better join. And it says in verse 28, and he was angry. And he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. I love the heart of the Father God. I love the heart of this father representing Father God, pleaded with his older son, going out and saying, listen, yeah, I'm excited and I want you to be excited because your brother's returned. He's your brother. He's flesh and blood. He's part of you. Please just come in. Come and celebrate. And you see, the Father knows our hearts and He will continue to knock at the door of our hearts. Whether we, and I want to say this morning, some of us can identify with the younger son. Some of us can identify with the older son. I believe we've all got both in our lives in some way. We've all got a lot of rebellion. Some of us have got just more religion. We've got both of all of this of these sons in our lives. Some a little bit of both in our lives. And the Father knows our hearts many times, and He's pursuing and saying, listen, yeah, I know you've been in my house all the time and you feel like you're not celebrated, but guess what? You celebrated. I've got a meal for you every day. You're here with me every day, but this guy was away. He was lost. He could have been dead, but I'm excited. So come, let's do this together. So the heart of God is that He pursues His children. That is my point this morning, is He pursues His children, whether they're rebellious or religious, whether they're legalistic or lawlessness or lawless, that he pursues His children. Just like He pursued the younger son, He was waiting, and as soon as He came back, He ran. Same with His older son. It's a little bit different because the older son didn't come back. He had to go out to His older son. And I want to say, God doesn't only wait for people to return. He actually goes out and He finds lost people. Because good news is this morning, there was two lost sons in this parable. The older son and the younger son were both lost. They both didn't understand the Father's heart. Because lost people out there aren't just unsaved. Because you know, we use these terms like that. I believe they just don't know the heart of the Father. That's why they're lost. And Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Can I have an amen? Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Amen. Because these days there's a lot of ways to the Father, and there isn't. Because the Bible says the image of the Father is reflected in Jesus Christ. And so He pursues His children, and some of us here are like older brothers, and I want to tell you this evening or this morning, I am like an older brother, and we had a great discussion on Wednesday night in our Connect group, and just seeing how many older brothers there are, and I know there's so many older brothers in our church, and there's so many older brothers in Bloemfontein, because we think we have the Father's heart, but we don't. Our hearts are so hard, and we're so in slavery, and so in religion, and the Father is pursuing those who are religious, and He's pursuing those who are rebellious. He loves everyone. And He's pursuing us, and I just, you know, I think I told this story sometime, but I was with Pastor Henny last year. We were in Mug and Bean having a coffee there that morning, and I just had an encounter with the Lord again where God just showed me and Esther, you know, we both tend towards the older son. We both more like, we can't understand rebellion always. We can't understand like how people can just walk away from God. You know, we've been serving God, and if you're not in fully in, then we don't understand it. And so sometimes, you know, we get like upset when people are like walking away, or even when they come back and they're very up and down. And so God is celebrating them, but we like, we don't know, it must be consistent. We're slaving away all the time. We're serving God until we die, you know, because we're not going to walk away. And then you don't understand the heart of the Father towards other people that are different from you. And I guess some rebellious people can't understand. How can you just be in the Father's house all the time? Get a life, you know, just celebrate, just rebel a bit, you know, like life is cool. Walk away sometimes, you know, the comeback is cool. You're going to get a big party. You come back. So however you are, whether you're an older son like myself, and that morning Henny prayed for us, and we just realized, you know, we're so hard on ourselves, and I know my parents have been telling you, so hard on yourself, you know, it's performance all the time, and we've got to perform to a certain level, otherwise, just rather give up, you know, just give up. And you get so hard in your heart, get so frustrated with life and with yourself, but the Father is pursuing His children all the time, and all He wants you to do is just come and celebrate when someone else gets saved. And some of us, you know, in the religious circles, and some of us need to just see other people getting saved. And I know in my life when I grew up and I got Spirit-filled, you know, it was the one thing that excited me the most was seeing lost people get saved. And I'm not like a super evangelist or anything, but you know, one thing that excited me is to get seeing and praying for people to get saved. It's the most amazing thing. And it changes your life, because then you realize life isn't about me. Like Gerda said, it's not about me. It's just about me being a vessel and seeing others get saved. And it's the greatest blessing in life to at least see one or two people get saved. And I believe we can see lots of people get saved if we really want to. But God will use us if we desire to see it. God will use us if we desire to come into the party sometimes and to see at least when there's a celebration. Amen. Hello, Caitlin. See, God has got no favorites. And in the verse 31, he says, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. The father assured the son that he was just as loved, just as celebrated, just as, you know, respected and important to him as the rest. As the slaves, as the younger son, as everyone. But you see, if we've got a slave mentality, if we insecure in our relationship with the Father, then we wonder like, are we good enough? And so we get so in bondage again, and we're unsure about the Father's love for us. And we think, you know, some people have got this golden hand that seems to touch every, this gold gets, you know, some things get turned to gold every time this person touches something, or whatever they do is just a success. And we get frustrated, because why aren't we like that? Why aren't we so successful, and why aren't we so blessed like other people? And so we wonder like, but are we really sons? Then we just walk away when there's a celebration for someone who's actually been so lost, but yet God celebrates them. So this morning, there's no favorites in the house of God. Whether you're a lost son, or whether you've been the son who's actually a slave in his father's house, God loves us the same. And so I'm just realizing it more in my life, that God is just so setting me free, and I'm just thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for Jesus showing me the stuff in my own heart, showing me just to trust him and to let go. And this week, I've been training again. And on Monday, I did like a time trial with the group I'm training with. And my legs were so sore and so stiff. And I'm like losing a little bit of my joy of my running again. And I'm like, you know, it's like I'm like stressing. And I'm feeling this performance thing again. And I'm so hard on myself. And no one's put this on me. No one has told me. It's just me, you know. And then this week, I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me after Monday, I'm like, because I get out of the car, we did a 4K, and I'm like, I just don't feel like doing this, but I'm here now, so I'll do it. And like, you know, then you compete against the other people, and you think you can't beat this guy in the group, and you get all competitive again, and leave there, and I'm like, I'm a bit down, and they're like, yes, man, this is a good time. And I'm saying, no, it's not, it's actually not nearly my PV, I've done better, you know. And so the Holy Spirit just says to me, just take off this whole week. Just stop running this whole week. Don't run once. And there's a 10K on Saturday. Run the 10K. I'm like, oh, and then I think I'm getting nervous again, because one of us will run for this 10K. But let me take off. But you know, for a runner to take off like 4 days in a row, it's like just unheard of. You know, that's like waste of time, training time. You know, like, you just don't do that. But I rested. I was obedient and I enjoyed it. I just got my life back again. I just got my joy, and I was excited. I went to go and enter on Friday night, and I was like, yes, this is going to be cool. I feel good. I feel refreshed. And so I ran this race, and it just blew my mind the time I ran. I was just so stoked, and I loved it. I loved every moment of it. Yes, there's pain at the end, and you're so tired, but it's just lacking to push yourself hard. It's lacking to overcome that fear and overcome that nervousness at the start, where you're wondering, are you going to do well enough? Are you going to, and I'm like, just Lord, before I got out the car, I just said, Lord, this one's for you, you know. This is really for you. And I just so enjoyed it. Even though I got passed by a younger guy, like, in the last K, you know, like this young student comes past me there, and I'm like, okay, well done. He says, no, I think it's the age, you know, like, and I'm like, Because I had my 40 on my vest already. Okay, I'm like, but I mean, I wasn't officially 40 yet, but I've sewn my 40 on. You know, I'm so excited about the 40 season. You know, the new season in my life. So I'm like, God, I'm running with a 40 on my vest already. Can you believe it? But I just so enjoyed it. You know, that thrill of just overcoming your own fears and just letting go and letting God run the race of life with you. And I believe that's the freedom in the Spirit that we need to receive from God, the freedom of the Father's heart, just to let go and say, God, sometimes I reach this point where I'm not list to go on with life. I'm not list to serve anymore. I'm not list to do this Christian thing. Then we just need to take a break and say, God, I want to just connect with you. Take a break from striving. Don't take a break from God. Just take a break from striving and trying and trying and trying. Just say, God, here's my life. Forget about all the stresses of life. Forget about all the tick boxes we've got to tick and all the responsibilities. I'm not saying like, you know, take a sabbatical and run away from your family. Okay, we've got responsibilities. But just take a break from your own mind, from your own striving, your own performance, your own goals that you're setting for yourself the whole time. And just run with abandonment. Just run this race of life. So I don't know where you are this morning, but I believe the Father is here this morning too. And Jesus is here to demonstrate that He has come to adopt us. Amen. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Adoption. And He wants to adopt us and remind us of our adoption in Christ. Because all of us are either more of a slave or more of a rebel or whatever we are. We're either the rebellious son or we're either the religious son. But He wants us to be the righteous son. He wants us to be the adopted son. And sometimes we have to keep reminding ourselves, even though He's done it for us, we have to remind ourselves, you're not a runaway son. You're not the prodigal son anymore. You're not with the pigs. You're an adopted son. Just remember that. And in that place of adoption, in that place where God reminds us of our adoption, you know what happens then? There's healing in our hearts. There's freedom for us to open up to God. You know, this one song we sang earlier was, you know, we're going to be real here. I love that line. I just picked it up. It's the first time I've seen that song. But it's like, yeah, we're gonna be real. We're gonna be real with God. Because there's safety. Amen. There's safety here. So I want the band to come forward this morning. Because I really am excited that the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here every Sunday. And this morning, I believe He's here very specifically as the Spirit of Adoption. Amen. Because we're dealing with who am I. We're dealing with who am I, the identity that we have in Christ. And the Spirit of Adoption is here to just remind us this morning that we are not slaves. We're no longer in bondage, like Romans 8 verse 15 said. We're no longer orphans. Amen. And you can be an orphan as a prodigal son or as the older son. Both were actually orphans. One just ran away. The other was an orphan. He was present with his father, but in his heart he was an orphan. He was a slave. And so this morning, I want us just to pray. And I'm trusting. And I had a vision before the service praying for some of us. And David, yeah, we prayed. And we really felt that the Lord wants to restore this morning. He wants to restore hearts. So the picture that I had this morning was one of a hospital where there's a safe place. You know, when you go into a hospital, you know it's not the nicest place. You don't want to be there, but you know you have to be there because healing is going to happen. Amen. The doctors will know. That's why you guys, Michelle and Mariette and Michael, Robert, Jos, you guys practicing because people need to be healed. So the hospital isn't the nicest place for someone who's in pain because you're already in pain, but you know the pain that you have and the pain of the hospital, you'd rather choose the pain of the hospital because at least you know something's going to happen. Amen. You're going to get healed. But if you stay in this pain the whole time, it gets comfortable after a while, but it's not nice. And you realize there is something more. There is healing. But this morning, I believe that this environment here is like a hospital. The church this morning is like it's a safe place. There's coffee. There's friends here. There's awesome people here. But God wants to do something. God wants to do a little operation. And it might be painful for a while, but it's just being confronted with your own spirit that you maybe are in bondage again to fear. You're a child of God. You've given your life to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit wants to tell you you're not a slave anymore. Just come to that freedom. Come to a greater level of glory of your adoption. Think of your adoption. Think that you are loved by the Creator of this universe, that you're loved by the Father of all fathers, the King of all kings. And He's not a doomsday God. He's not an accountant God. He's not a schoolmaster God. He's not your buddy either. Because you know, your buddy sometimes just walks away from you, eh? These casual buddies, they'll drop you, you know. As soon as you become too buddy-buddy, then something happens. Then they go on to the next buddy. God is not a buddy like that. God is the friend of sinners. Jesus is the friend of sinners. And He's drawn to our sin. But you know, sometimes we don't recognize our sin. And the Holy Spirit cannot work when we don't recognize, you know, there's actually stuff in my life. There's ha-ha stuff. It's not great. And I want it out. I want to go to this hospital. I want to have this operation. Lord, deliver me. So it's here for all of us this morning. As we close our eyes, Father, I thank You for Your heart this morning, Lord. Thank You, Spirit of Adoption, that You are here to remind all of us that we are not slaves, Lord. That we are not runaway children. We don't have to be, Lord. You are waiting for us. Some of us feel like we've run away a little bit. Some of us feel far from You, Lord. Some of us feel like we actually need to make that turn. We need to repent. We actually need to run back. And some of us, Lord, are in Your house and we're serving and we're slaving away and we're doing all the right things. But Lord, there's just no life. There's no life in our quiet time with You. There's no life when we hear Your voice and we can just be with You, Lord. We don't have to do anything. We just can be. So Lord, we say we're coming here to this hospital, Lord, and we want to be changed, God. So that we can go out on this water, Lord. So that we can let our anchors down, God. So that we can forget about the holes. And in fact, Lord, not forget, but let You patch up the holes, God. That we can float again. That we can sail again, Lord. That we can even soar like on eagle's wings, God, above the water sometimes. Lord, we can see a different view, a different vision, God. So I want to thank You this morning for Your Father's heart for us, Lord. I want to thank You that You are not the reflection, Lord, but You are the perfection of any father that we've had, any figure, any leader that we've had in our lives, Lord. You are the perfection of it. You complete it, Lord. In fact, You change everything that is not of You. You've come, Jesus, to destroy the works of the enemy. And we know, Lord, that we are products of the devil, Lord. We are products of the enemy many times because we've been born in a family that's also not perfect, in a natural family that's also just doesn't know You, Lord. Don't always know Your fullness and Your love. But thank You this morning, Spirit of Adoption, that You are here. We welcome You here into our hearts now. We know You're here, Lord, but thank You that You are here doing a deep operation in many of us this morning, Lord. So I want to pray for you. I just want you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you forward this morning, but I want to trust with you that God gives you that Spirit of Adoption. If you feel like a bit of a rebellious son this morning, if you feel like a religious or an older son that you've been in the house but you're slaving away, or you feel you've run away a little bit, then I don't know where you are, but I want you to raise your hand and say to God, God, this is me. I need Your Spirit of Adoption. I receive it again. I receive Your fullness again. I receive Your Father's heart again because it's my identity is in You, Lord. So if that's you, I just want to pray for you this morning. If you feel a stirring in your spirit that something spoke to you this morning, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you. If you feel like a slave in many ways, then just raise your hand. Just be honest. There's some hands going up. Just be really honest. If the Spirit is prompting you, don't resist. He's here to heal. I really believe He's going to heal you. As you just respond and as you say like the prodigal son, I'm going to realize that this is who my Father is. My Father's a good Father. And He's going to lead me to paths of righteousness. So thank you for those hands. Just raise them up nice and high just one more time. And then I'm going to pray for you. This God is doing an awesome work. Just allow Him to. You can row your hand again if you've put it up. Father, I thank You for every person this morning, God, that is feeling like an orphan, feeling like a slave, feeling like a rebel. Thank You for Your heart here, Lord, Your Father's heart. Thank You for healing in Jesus' name. I just want you to open up your heart and to the Spirit this morning.
Just let the Holy Spirit come and do it this morning. Come, let the Holy Spirit break your heart. Break the hardness in your heart and just be honest with Him. Speak to Him right now. Just say, thank you, Father. Call Him Father. Call Him Father. I had an encounter with the Lord a while ago, and I was just running there near to in Happy Valley, and I was running past Oranje, and there's some girls playing hockey and practicing there, and I just felt the Father, you know, the Father said to me, you know, I'm pleased with you, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. And then I just felt myself responding, no, 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 thank you, Dad. And when I said thank you, Dad, I just started to cry. I realized I don't always know God as a dad. I'm like a typical older son. It's like, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, so I'll go to the ends of the earth for you. I'll do anything for you, God. You're my Lord. You're awesome. You're holy. You're amazing. But I don't always know you as a father, but Dad, thank you, Dad. So freeing to call Him Dad. Just started crying. I'm thinking, what are these girls now thinking if they see me running out with tears in my eyes? I'm like weeping, but I can't stop running because I just feel so free. God wants to show Himself to some of you guys this morning as a dad. He's your dad. He's your Abba Father. And some of you need to forgive this morning. I really believe some of you need to forgive your parents. You need to really forgive your parents and your dad, maybe specifically. There's ladies here, you need to forgive your dad. Because you've got a need just to sit on your dad's lap and just to be, and your dad's also so focused and he's so busy with stuff, but you need to forgive him for that because he's a dad. I want to say there's a dad in heaven and he wants you to sit on his lap. Father, that you're a dad, Lord. Now, Lord, soften our hearts, God. Soften our hearts for you, Lord. You're so welcome, yeah. Just to come and do what you have to do, God. If you need to forgive, just forgive your father. Just release and repent of your hardness of heart. If you've got a hardened heart here this morning, just repent to God. Say sorry to God, but forgive the people that have hurt you. Forgive the people that have made your heart hard, because it's not God. I want to say this morning, it's not God. But God is the one you need to repent to for having a hardened heart, because it's prevented you from being free in Him. So just repent this morning if you need. But forgive and you'll be free. You'll be free this morning.
I just believe the Lord wants us to do something prophetic this morning, and that's just for the men in the house, that you really believe God has called you to be a father. And we'd like to really anoint you this morning as a father. And you're not maybe naturally a father yet, you haven't got your kids of your own, but God is calling you to be a father, and He wants you to start to walk in that. So if that's you this morning, I'd like for Tar and Jan Pietri, if you guys could just come and just anoint the people. But if you feel like you have been called to be a father in the spirit more than you're going to have your own kids, God will bless you with that. But just to be a father in the spirit, then just come forward, and we'd love to anoint you and to pray with you. So is there anyone like that you feel just the father's heart? And you might feel so inadequate now. You might feel like how's this going to happen? But God wants you to be a father, and He wants you to see yourself as a father already. You're not just a son. It's important to be a son. So if we can just get the oil there, as Yelatue, JP, and Tad, if you can just anoint the people. We don't have to pray long prayers, but let's just anoint them. I'm going to pray over you guys. Is there anyone else you really feel the Lord's calling you to be a dad? If you guys in the band also want to come, let the ladies minister. But I just really am so excited about the Father's heart that's imparting into our church. Lord, I thank you for the dads that are standing up here, Lord, in the spirit, God. Thank you for leaders, Lord, but father's hearts, Lord. Father's hearts, God. Not leaders that are leaders because they have a title, but leaders because they've got a father's heart, a shepherd's heart, God. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you're calling people like David this morning to have integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands to shepherd your people, God. Just thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
welcome to drink a cup of coffee if you need to go. But thanks so much for coming this morning. God bless you guys. Have a great week. And keep fulfilling the destiny that God has for you as a son in his house. Amen.